You thought this place was a mess before. You should see it now that I'm packing to move. Oh my god, shit's everywhere. It's therapeutic, however. And I'm on the lookout for lots of stuff to throw away. Jeez, I still can't talk. I've been walking around talking to myself, doing vocal warm-ups for about 30 minutes while I've been moving shit around and making a pile of stuff that I'm going to load into the $500 pickup truck and take to the storage unit. And apparently it didn't do any fucking good. But here we are, second cup of coffee. Ready to go. You can scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, moan, look for a safe space. This ain't it. You can shove your opinions up your ass. They with a Trump and Fierce cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. Unlike Aaron Clary, I am right. I am always right. I have always been right. I will always be right. I have never been wrong. Go fuck yourself. Nice big chug of water there. Get things going. All right, look, guys, people, boys, girls, there are no girls here. You know this. Let me write a note to myself real quick. And that, and then that. Okay. Note written. I'll probably forget it anyhow. Let's just get into this, because most likely the only reason you're here is because you saw the clickbait title, right? And I was going to rehash the story. I'm not going to rehash the fucking story. Because if you listen to me, you already listen to Aaron Clary. You already listen to Adam Piggott. If you're not listening to Aaron Clary and Adam Piggott, you should be. Except for whenever Aaron Clary does the Older Brother podcast on YouTube. Because the first 20 minutes of every one of those episodes is Aaron complaining about YouTube. I came on YouTube and you used to click here and you'd get the link, but then it's not there anymore because some tech nerd decided to change the... Yes, yes. So if you're tuning into the Older Brother podcast, and it's one that Aaron did on the YouTube with somebody like Chad Elkins, the resident CPA of the Manosphere, just skip the first 20 minutes because it's just Aaron Clary complaining, right? It's kind of like my podcast with the long introductions that Adam Piggott complained about and that he skips. Same thing, just skip the first 20 minutes of Clary's podcast because it's just him complaining about YouTube. And then you can get to the important stuff and you can listen to him being wrong about things. So anyhow, the links to the three previous episodes that give you all the background on this will be in the show notes, but you've probably already listened to them. And, you know, I'm not involved in this. I'm listening to this. I'm like, no, Aaron is wrong and Adam is right. Although Adam doesn't go quite far enough, which is unusual for Adam because Adam is usually pretty good at going far enough. If you read his writing on a regular basis, Adam's good at calling people out. So let's delve right into this. Why is Aaron Clary wrong about women pursuing STEM as a plan B to getting married? And actually, I have notes. If you looked at the show notes, you pretty much already know where this is going because I wrote things down for a change. It's almost as if you could communicate ideas and information by writing them with words in the written language as opposed to talking. By the way, speaking of words and written language, if you want to send me an email and tell me how right or how wrong I am, you can send that to God. That's fur baby spelled backwards. God at cynlibsoc.com on the interwebs. And then, of course, if I were a member of the Manosphere, this is where I'd be telling you to smash like buttons and ring bells and go to my Patreon and all this other stuff that 14-year-old girls do. However, I have testosterone, so we're not going to do any of that. Here we go. Look, let me see. Where do I start? They have notes, but they're not in a perfect order. I should have reordered them slightly. All right, let's just start here. Let's not start there. I'm trying to put... Fuck. You know, for somebody who has notes, I didn't do a very good job of organizing them. Okay, I've got it. Here's how we dive in. Clary's saying that a girl Who wants to, okay. Once again, let's define, before we do this, though, we do need to define some terminology, because we're doing philosophy here, right? We're not insulting people, we're not calling people names, we're doing rational, logical thinking today. Right, because I'm not saying Clary's a bad guy. I mean, Aaron Clary's a great guy. By the way, Adam Piggott is just as fucking Adam Piggott-y as you think he is from listening to his podcast and reading his website. Getting to spend a weekend hanging out with Adam Piggott was phenomenal. And next time he's back in the States, hopefully we'll do it again. By the way, I just want to brag for a moment. As you guys know, I always talk about how I have the $10,000 in the savings as my backup money and spend less than I make, yada, yada, yada. So, flew down to New Orleans, rented hotel rooms, all this other shit, hang out with Piggott and Clary. And the whole time, everything's paid for. It's all paid already, credit card's paid off. In no time did I have to dip into my savings whatsoever. I had enough of my what we'll call normal spending money to cover all of those expenses, and that is because I spend less money than I make. It's not that hard, guys. I'm not rich, and I'm not bragging about this. I'm just pointing out that out of Cappy, Piggott, Great One, I am the poorest person of those three. I am fucking poverty stricken. I forget what I made last year. It's like 30 something thousand dollars. I am fucking poor, and yet I could afford to do this. You know why? That I don't buy shit I don't need. Spend less than you make, guys. Bachelor Pad Economics. Go to Amazon.com. Look for it. Buy it. Read it. Live it. Especially if you're young, because I'm old. I've already fucked up too much of my life to really recover. You still have a chance. That has nothing to do with women getting married and STEM and Plan B. All right, here we go. Where were we going? Oh, yeah. We were defining our terminology. For the purpose of this argument, this mythological woman that we're talking about is a woman who wants to marry a man, have children, be a stay-at-home mother, maybe if we're lucky, even homeschool, and she wants to form a nuclear family. She wants to stay with this man for the rest of her life. She wants to have children and grandchildren and possibly even see her great-grandchildren, okay? So that's the woman we're talking about. That's our target, not just our target demographic, that is our subject. That's the subject. So when we speak of woman doing this, woman should do that, woman should not do this, yada, 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 that's the woman we're talking about. We're not talking about a feminist. We're not talking about a woman with a liberal arts degree. We're not talking about my mom. Okay, we're talking about that woman. Here we go. First of all, Cappy says they should be going to college. Because what else are they supposed to do? And they've got to do something to fill this time, and they can't go looking for men when they're 20 years old because there are no 20-year-old men who are marriage material. Okay, so let's start with these. The 20-year-old woman who wants to get married, have a family, should go to college because 20-year-old men are not ready to get married. There's no marriage material among them, and he's right about that. And she needs to find something to do with her time, because otherwise she'll just have all this free time. Wait, I'm sorry. Cappy, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever fucking heard in my life. You'll just have all this free. You'll just have nothing to do. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay, look, our target woman, okay, if you are the target woman we're talking about, you're 20 years old, you should not be looking at 20-year-old men to marry. This is going to hurt. You need to be looking at men 10 years older than you. Now, a lot of you right now are going, ew, and this is fascinating. This is fascinating. There is this ew reaction to a 20-year-old woman dating and marrying and having children with a 30-year-old man. However, many of you, not all of you, but many of the people who would look at that and go, ew, are totally okay with Desmond is amazing. A 10-year-old boy wearing women's clothing, walking down the street, dancing with 47-year-old homosexual men wearing nothing but a G-string. Enjoy the fucking decline, guys. Enjoy the fucking decline. Like it or not, if you're a 20-year-old woman, you want to make a family, you need to be looking at men older than you. Men who are established, who have matured, who have money, who have the resources to support you while you raise the children, while you have the children, while you are pregnant. I'm sure this is controversial to a lot of people. I don't understand why. So there's the first thing. Cappy's mistaken assumption is that 20-year-old women should be marrying 20-year-old men in order to start a family. Hold on. Look at my notes. I covered all that, or close enough. You guys can read. I don't need to read these to you word for word. All right, let's get to this one. Cappy says they need something to do with their time. Okay. So I thought about this, and I'm like, well, okay, so you got this 20-year-old girl, and she wants to be a wife, and she wants to be a mother. And if she doesn't go to college, well, what is she going to do with her time? All right, now, once again, here we may, some of you are going to go, ew, to what I'm about to say, and the fact that you're going to go, ew, while at the same time applauding Desmond is amazing just fascinates me. Now, in the assorted podcasts that have come before this, both Cappy and Piggott have espoused the concept that if a woman wants to be attractive to a man, yada, 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 what is it? A debt-free virgin who doesn't have tattoos. Okay. And I can agree with that, because if we have time at the end of this podcast, I'm going to tell you a few theater stories about women who are not debt-free, not virgins, and have tattoos and other stuff. But I want to get the important stuff out of the way first. All right, and they're not wrong. Okay, nobody's wrong when they say, if you're a woman, you want a good man, no debt, no tattoos, no piercings, long hair, virgin. Okay, sure, all that's true. But let us be honest and truthful here. You're a man. Let's say you're an accomplished man. So you are, say, Aaron Cleary or Adam Piggott. You're a man of accomplishment. You're not rich, but you're well off. You can pay your fucking bills, right? You want to start a family. You want a wife. You want a woman that it's your intention. You're going to spend the rest of your life with her. You're going to grow old together. You're going to die first. You're going to leave her all the money so she can live comfortably in her old age. Which is what's going to happen when a 20-year-old woman. Well, these days you can't tell. I mean, Desmond is amazing. Amazing. A 20-year-old woman marries a 30-year-old man. The man is going to die well before the woman does. All right. So you're looking for a woman that you are going to devote the rest of your life and your fortune and your time, you're going to devote all these things to her and the children you create with her. Let us be honest, men. I want you to stop and think for a moment. Let's say you find this woman, okay? A woman, not this woman, a woman. This woman wants to have a family with you, children, yada, yada, yada. She is a virgin. She has long hair. She's thin. She has no debt. She has no tattoos. She has no piercings. She shaves her fucking armpit hair and her legs. She doesn't have a mustache. And we, of course, are talking about 0.5% of the population. The female population. Okay. Ask yourself this. All honesty, I want you to think about this for a minute. Is that really enough? Honestly, truthfully, not smart ass answers like the great one would give. Yeah, man, as long as she's got a hole, I'll bang her. I submit to you, it's not. We're talking about the rest of your fucking life. As Turd Flinging Monkey explains in the podcast episode that I should, if I remember, I'm going to put in linkage tomorrow. He makes a lot of analogies between marriage and business. And I think that's legit. Let's say you're going to start a business and you're going to get a business partner. Do you want your business partner to simply be good looking and thin and not have any debt? Or would you like your business partner to bring a little bit more to the table? Now see, Cappy says, well, if a girl doesn't go to college, what is she supposed to do with her time? Right, which is right up there with who would build the roads? Now I sat down yesterday and I had a couple of beers. I did a little bit of thinking, and this is what I came up with. Because you see, here's what a woman who, again, our woman, the subject of our discussion, not all women, not feminist, okay, but the women we are talking about, here is what she should be doing with her time. She should be developing these things called life skills. Because while what you look like is very, very important, remember, girls, what you look like is the first thing men notice about you. I know many of you don't like that, but it's true. Once a man, a real man with testosterone, who doesn't constantly pimp his Patreon page, once he starts thinking about marrying a woman and spending the rest of his life with this broad, you need to look at things beyond what she looks like. So you're a woman. You're our woman we're talking about. What do you do with your time if you don't go to college? Here's a list I came up with. You learn how to sew. Now, I don't just mean putting on a button. Learn how to sew. Learn how to make clothing from scratch. I know how, my God, everyone's going, but great one. You just go to Walmart and you buy a shirt made by children in Bangladesh for $3. Why? Why would a woman learn how to sew? And if you're saying that, you might be obeying the feminine imperative, okay? Yes, you're right. Why should women bring some kind of life skills into a marriage? Why, women are perfect, aren't they? Women don't have to bring anything into marriage. Why should women be able to do anything? Why should women have skills or talents or be able to add value? Women could just take their husband's money and go to Walmart and buy stuff. I know, some of you are wetting yourselves. I bet there's a lot of cucking going on right now. Ah, shit, I should have warned you guys to get your adult diapers. Fuck. Sorry, my bad. I did not warn you to get your adult diapers. Okay, things woman could do when she's not going to college. She could learn how to sew. She could learn the basics of budgeting and accounting. What if her husband wants to start a business? Now you go, we need a CP. Okay, yeah. Down, Chad Elkins, down. Just relax, okay? But a woman should be able to understand the basics of budgeting and accounting, okay? What if the husband wants to start a business? You have to hire a CPA eventually, but maybe not on day one. I mean, what if she wants to run the household budget? Right? The man, I mean, let's say I am a man. Let's say I have a real job. Let's say I have a wife. I want to come home. I want to fucking give her the paycheck and say, here, sweetheart, fucking handle the bills. Ooh, I haven't talked about this guy in a long time. Back when I worked at CSU, this is such a long story, I gotta make it short, because we're talking about traditional wives, okay? Back when I worked at CSU, had a guy who worked for me. He was from Vietnam. Fucker was awesome. Such a long story. He was alive back during the Vietnam War, and he was a political science major, and he was involved in politics. And as far as I know, because I haven't seen him in years, but when we worked together, the Vietnamese government still wanted him dead. Not just, I mean, lots of people. The Vietnamese government wants a whole lot of people dead. He's not that special that he's singled out, but he's one among thousands. But the government of Vietnam, a couple of times, tried to trick him into coming back to Vietnam so they could kill him. Not making this up. Married, kids. His kids are fucking... three kids. I've met them. Two sons and a daughter. All three of them, if I remember correctly, all three of them majored in engineering. All three of them are tennis champions. All three of them are martial arts champions. Wife, very traditional. Anyhow, he told me, he says, look, I make the money. I come home, I give my money to my wife. She gives me my allowance. I do whatever I want to do with my allowance. My wife runs the fucking house. She pays all the bills. She manages the money. She buys the food. I don't fucking worry about it. I get my allowance. I do what I want with it. She runs the fucking household budget. I'm like, dude, you are a fucking god. And he is. I mean, you know what? This guy might be the only motherfucker I know who is more Adam Piggotty than Adam Piggott. I mean, this son of a bitch, amazing. Amazing. Okay? Yeah, I would like the woman I'm going to marry to know how to fucking balance the books and pay the bills and budget money. Maybe she could learn a craft. Once again, women who can do crafty things like art crafty, I'm not talking about gluing macaroni to poster board, okay? Whatever it is, paper mache sculpture, oil painting. I know something artistic. Maybe this is because I'm from the South. But in the South, there's this mythology, which maybe was never true. Can mythologies ever be true? You know, of the Southern woman who you'd go over and she was cultured and refined and she could play musical instruments and she read classical literature and she was artistic. Okay, look, if you're a woman, you should be developing some artistic skills, singing, dancing, painting, musical instrument, something, sculpture, some forms of expressing yourself artistically. That is a very feminine trait. Cleaning. You may think that cleaning is not a skill that needs to be developed. It is. What do you use to clean this? What do you use to clean that? What do you use to clean the wall that doesn't take the paint off? Okay, brace yourselves. Brace yourselves. So, oh God, some of you are going to shit. Okay, she should learn how to iron clothing. I know. Oh my God, great one. Why would a woman waste her time ironing clothing when you could just go to Walmart and buy a new shirt that was made by slave labor in Bangladesh for $3? God, oh my God, you guys are so fucking following the feminine imperative. Yes, she should be able to iron my fucking shirt. I'm sorry how oppressive that is. I'm sorry that I'm not spending money at Walmart. She should learn how to cook. By learning how to cook, I don't mean ordering pizza. Learn to fucking cook. Experiment with cooking. Learn what the different seasons do. Not the seasons of the year, the seasons of the spice seasons. Okay? Learn how to make a fucking pie. Learn how to make muffins. Learn how to bake a fucking chicken properly so it's not dry on the outside and raw on the inside. I don't know, what could she be doing with her time instead of going to college? I'm baffled. I'm baffled. All right, she could learn how to plunge a toilet. She could learn how to use a toilet snake. Now, the woman we're talking about might be smart enough to know not to flush her fucking bloated tampons down the toilet and plug it up. But yeah, no, plunging the toilet. That'd be good to know. She could learn how to fix the leaking tap. She could learn basic home repair skills. Or a great one, shouldn't the man repair? No, women are equal. Do you want a woman who's come, oh my God, she could learn automobile maintenance. How to change a tire, I don't even know. This I'm serious. I don't know. Do cars still have spark plugs? She could learn how to change spark plugs and gap them. She could learn how to change oil. I mean, imagine you're a man, okay? You got your good job, you're an engineer, you're making six figures, you come home from day at the dealing with bullshit, and you come home and your wife is sitting out there, and she's like, hey, sweetie. I'm like, hey, how's it going? She's like, dinner's on the table, it's nice and warm, I got everything ready. As soon as it cools down, I'm gonna change the oil in your car for you, because it's due, your oil change is due. Dude, you would fuck that, I would fuck her so hard that night. Holy shit. Dude, I would fucking bust like three nuts inside that woman.
Great one. Why don't you just take the car down to the fucking lube shop and get your oil changed for $5 but for some slave labor in Taiwan?
Oh, God. You fucking people. Hey, why don't we all just be helpless? Right? Why don't we just rely on fucking slave labor children in third world countries to do everything for us? I can't figure out why Western civilization is on the decline. All right, we're not done yet. She could learn gardening. Because if you're a good man, you can afford to buy a house. House should have a yard. What do you put in it? Maybe, again, this is because I'm from the South. What do you put in your backyard? You put a fucking garden. You grow some fucking food. You have some flowers. Maybe you have a little fucking rose garden area. Gardening for food and for aesthetic pleasures. A woman should learn gardening. Bartending. Okay? You bring your friends over or you bring somebody from work over to have a work meeting. You walk in the door. You say, sweetheart, would you make us a couple of martinis, please? Absolutely. And she goes to the bar and she brings forth two martinis made with Plymouth gin, the official gin of the Cynical Libertarian Society, which they had in the bars in New Orleans, thank God. And they're perfect martinis, perfectly made. Why? Because she is a skilled bartender. She knows how to fucking mix and serve drinks. Maybe she could work on her writing skills. Just sit around and write. I don't care. Journal. Write short stories. Whatever. Creative outlet. Work on her communication proficiencies. Here's another one I just thought of. She could join Toastmasters and work on her public speaking skills so that she can present herself to groups of people, whether it's the people you work with, whether it's your friends, you take her out of public, whatever. Do you want your wife to be unarticulate? I don't. She could learn interwebbing. My friend here in town who owns his own business, who is a Muslim from Turkey, I've talked about him before, very long story short, he came here, he dated American women, they were garbage, I know you're shocked. He went back to Turkey and through traditional Turkish methods, which means essentially arranged marriage, he found a wife. She lives here with him now. They have two adorable children. They get along great. He owns the business. His wife runs the fucking website. She does all the interwebbing stuff. Social media, keeps the website going, yada, yada, yada. Okay? You're a woman? You could learn how to do basic websiting. Once again, maybe your husband or maybe you or maybe the two of you together want to start a business, home-based business or something. You're going to need a website. Some interweb skills are going to be useful. She could go hiking. She could get some exercise, some fresh air. She could listen to podcasts and audiobooks. Like, for example, she could listen to the Cynical Libertarian Society. She could listen to Adam Pickett's Pushing Rubber podcast. She could listen to the Clary podcast as long as she skips the first 20 minutes where Aaron complains about YouTube every episode over and over and over, just in case you didn't know that YouTube sucks. Although it's not as bad as Dave Cullen, who just talks over and over and over about how YouTube censors people who are right-wing. Oh my God, who knew? So there you go. Those are just a few things I came up with while drinking a beer, well, two beers, that a woman could do with her time instead of going to college. I bet you could think of some more. All right, where are my notes? And that goes over there. All right, let's see. Did we do this? They go. Yep, put yourself, all right, make yourself worthy of him. Once again, because the women's, you want this great man to marry you, support you for the rest of your life, which is fine. Right, of course, I'm totally on board with women should have standards. But for the woman to have standards, she's got to meet the man's expectations as well. It goes both ways. This is the one place that I can think of offhand where the great one will honestly say to you, men and women are equal. Men must have standards for the women they're going to date, fuck, marry. And to have those standards, those men have to be worthy of the women who meet those standards. A woman absolutely must have standards unless, you know, feminist sluts, yada, yada, yada. But again, we're talking about a specific kind of woman here, okay? She must have standards for the men she is going to date, fuck, marry. To have those standards and to expect them to be met, she has to make herself worthy. And I'm sorry that while long hair, no debts, no tattoos, all that horseshit, that's all a great start. If that's all she's got, if she's just dumb as a box of rocks, and she can't fucking form a sentence, and she has no skill with... God, I haven't talked about this in a long time. God, here's a perfect... oh my gosh. All right. When I was in the military, there's this guy in my unit, and he married this girl named Molly. Molly is the dumbest human I've ever met. Now, you're going to think I'm making some of this up. I swear to you on my fucking dead grandmother's ashes, this is 100% fact. There is no exaggeration here. Molly's father died sometime ago, whenever that was. Remember, I'm saying all of this from the point of reference in time of when I met them many, many years ago, back when I was in the military. Okay. So her father was dead, but her father had started some clothing business. They're from Michigan, and shit tons of money. Very, very rich. So Molly and her mother, very well off. Molly never in her life, like before I had met her, had prepared her own food. Now you're saying, great one, I think you're exact. No. They had servants on call 24 hours a day. I know this because I met Molly's mother, who shockingly, see, and I'll tell this story. I thought Molly's mother was going to be a disaster. That woman, and this is also, you can tell the difference. You've all heard this before. You've got, say, the husband and the wife who start the business and form it, and then they become rich, and then the kids are born into the richness and grow up in it, and they're completely different. This was the perfect example, because I thought, oh, Molly's mother is going to be a disaster. No. That woman, you could tell, she started her life off poor. And she, with her husband, became rich. I had a blast hanging out with that woman. She was fantastic. She had a fucking sense of humor, intelligent, funny, all the kind of skills that I'm talking about a woman should have. Molly, I'm not making this up. Molly, when I met her, she did not know how to make a sandwich. I know what you're saying. No, I am not fucking with you. I'm like, make a sandwich. I don't know how. Okay. She did not know how to boil. She had a kid. God, they had a baby. She had the kid and her husband would do all the prep, like mixing the formula and sterilizing the bottles. So here's how I know all of this, because her husband, his appendix burst and he went into the hospital to have that dealt with. And so he was out of action. So I went over to the house to take care of Molly. And yes, I was trying to fuck her. I went over to the house to take care of his wife while he was out of action. she did not know how to make a sandwich. She ate every meal at a restaurant because she did not know how to prepare her own food. Okay? We're sitting there one day. She comes in. She's like, she says to her husband, you know, she needs to sterilize the baby bottle. How does she do that? And he's like, well, you put the pot, you fill the pot with water, put it on the stove, boil it. When it's boiling, you take the bottle and you dip it in there. She couldn't do it. He had to go into the kitchen, put water in the pot, put it on the stove, and turn on the burner. This woman was very attractive, very attractive. Do you really want to spend the rest of your life with a woman who literally, literally Hitler, literally does not know how to boil water? Would you really, as a man with testosterone and a six-figure income, would you really be happy with that woman? So as a woman who wants to find a good man and family, blah, 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 instead of competing with other women the way women normally compete with other women, which is by dragging other women down to their level, you need to compete with other women by elevating yourself. You need to compete with other women by making yourself more worthy of this good man than the other women. All right, STEM as Plan B. Now, the problem with the women we're talking about who want this family is that they, despite any assertion they have that, oh, I want to get married and have kids, yada, 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 they still have to work against the conditioning of society and their female nature and all of this other stuff. And women, due to the fact that they only have two compartments in their brain. I fucked up my own joke. All right, there's no point in even doing it now. I'll do it later after you've forgotten that I fucked it up. For women to focus their energy and effort is difficult enough as it is. But to say that a woman is going to have this plan A, which is finding a husband, a good husband, which is going to require some effort, and then have this plan B of STEM, I'm not sure how that's going to work out. Because for women, for them to have plan A is getting married and making kids, and plan B is a STEM career, a woman who can do that, they're going to be few and far between. Most women, the typical plan structure of the average woman looks a lot like this. Plan A is getting an easy college diploma and then getting a nonprofit job and being a parasite for the rest of your life. Okay. Plan B is living off of your daddy. Plan C, assuming you know who your daddy is, of course. Plan C would be living off of your brothers. Plan D would be living off of your beta orbitals. Plan E would be cyberbegging, kind of like a red pill man. Plan F would be being a cam girl, which is actually pretty profitable. Aaron Cleary's written about that over at captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. Plan G would be getting on government welfare, also known as Plan A, nonprofit job. Plan H would be adopting rescue dogs. Well, great one. Adopting rescue dogs doesn't provide her with an income. Well, yeah, but she doesn't understand that. Plan I would be short-term husband followed by divorce rape. Then about Plan J, you could have a STEM career, and Plan K would be get married, have children, stay home, be loyal, be a deserving wife. Somehow or another, I managed to forget getting knocked up by a random stranger at the bar, spitting out a child as a single mother, and getting welfare. Maybe we could just put that under Plan G, government welfare. I also come down with Adam Piggott on this one. If you have a plan A and you have a plan B, the time you devote to plan B, you can't devote to plan A. And, you know, it's like when, was it Cortez? One of those evil white imperialists who came over and oppressed the Native Americans, right when they got here and he burned the ships so his men couldn't go back, right? I mean, there comes a point where you do have to dedicate yourself to achieving something, to doing something. Sometimes you have to fucking burn the ships. And if you're sitting here, especially if you're a woman and you are just biologically, naturally wishy-washy to begin with, if you're like, well, I'd like to get married and have children. Oh, but then I could go get my STEM career. You know, that's, no, you need to burn one of the ships. You need to devote yourself to something. Because once again, if you really want the husband, the kids, you got to be the wife who's worthy. And your STEM career, even your STEM diploma, depending what it is, we'll get to that in a minute, isn't going to help you out most likely. Now, here's another way in which, depending on how you look at it, Aaron Cleary is very, very wrong. Because here's the thing. You listen to Asshole Consulting, you listen to Aaron giving people advice. Aaron sometimes gives people advice which is good for them personally, but it's not good for their nation. It's not good. Again, I'm using nation, what the word means, not government, not borders on a map, okay? Nation, a group of people with a collective background, ethnicity. I know we don't like to talk about ethnicity because it's racist. A common background, ethnicity, mythology, religion, heritage, you know, the shared collective society. Aaron sometimes gives advice that's good for the individual, but bad for society as a whole. What do I mean by this? Here's some examples of what I'm trying to get at. Let's say you're in communist Germany, okay? And you overhear your neighbor saying something against the government. And you know that if you go and you turn your neighbor in, well, you might get rewarded, okay? So in this case, turning in your neighbor to the Stasi might be a good thing for you personally, but for society as a whole, for German society, this is a bad thing. Okay? Let's say you're in Nazi Germany. A lot of Germanys here. There's a knock on your door. And you open up the door, and it's the Gestapo. And they're like, hey, do you know where there's any Jews at? Let's say you know that there's some Jews in the attic of the house across the street. Now, you might be trying, maybe you want to stay alive. You don't want to lose your business. Maybe you got a business, whatever. Saying, hey, you know what? There's some Jews across the street up in the attic there. I saw them the other day. Or better yet, maybe you didn't wait for the Gestapo to knock on your door. Maybe you went to the Gestapo to report the Jews. Now see, this could be a good thing for you personally. You could benefit from this. But are you benefiting society? Are you benefiting your nation? Some people would say, yes, you're getting rid of the Jews and they're vermin. We'll have that debate later. What about celebrating Gay Pride Month? Right? You go out and you wear your rainbows and you celebrate Desmond is amazing, having, you know, and 40-year-old men shaking their cocks in his face. And sure, you feel good about yourself. You feel great. But what effect is that having on society, on your nation? And when Cappy tells women to get a STEM degree or God's help us, we'll get to this in a minute, go into the military, Cappy is telling girls, women, there goes my voice, hang on. Oh my God, it's the curse of Cappy. I was speaking out against Cappy and he cursed me. All right. When Cappy tells women to get the STEM degree or to join the military, okay, and this also, let's tie this in, because Brett Stevens over at America.org, he writes often about the problems of individualism. And I've talked about this a little bit, yada, 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 and how is he defining individualism versus how I define individualism. And with his definition of individualism, I see his point, so forth and so on. So I think this is an example of what Brett Stevens is talking about, at least as far as my interpretation of what Brett is saying goes. Because as always, all of this is me interpreting shit other people say. I may have misinterpreted, I may be wrong, I may have forgotten things, you know, all the standard fucking disclaimers. A person can do something that individually benefits them, be it long run or short run, but harms the greater society. And if you're a woman who wants to have children, you need to care about the society that your children are going to grow up in and have to live in after you're dead. And then your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, so forth and so on. And so when a woman engages in an activity that is destructive to her nation and says she wants to have children and she cares about said children, you can't reconcile those two things. If you care about your children, you don't destroy the nation that they are going to live in. Period. I mean, it's one or the other. Now, you may not be able to actively stop the destruction of your nation, okay? But you don't actively participate in the destruction of your nation if you care about your children's. So let's break down the STEM first. I'll save the ranting about women in the military for the last. So let's break down the STEM. First of all, there's no K and there's no A. God damn. There's no A in there for accounting, but we'll put that under math. So I know Cappy likes to encourage women to go into accounting. Okay, this one I can agree with. Because once again, balancing a budget, mathematics skills, accounting skills, that's something a woman who is a wife can utilize to run the household. All four women learning accounting. Math, otherwise, I don't know what you do with that. Maybe there's stuff you do with it. But once again, so we're focusing on a woman whose goal, stated goal, marrying children, yada, yada, yada. Any kind of math degree other than accounting, I have no idea why you would do that. Same thing with engineering. No. Engineering is also a logic-based, fact-based field. And let's be honest, most women don't fit into logic, fact-based fields. Technology. Now, this one I found interesting because this is... The young lady in question that we were talking about, on the podcast with the three of us, if I remember correctly... And then Cappy referenced this later. She was getting like some kind of IT or something like that. And in his podcast, Defending Women in STEM, Aaron said that if you're a woman, right, you're going to do the thing. So you go, you get your computer diploma, you raise your kids. 18 years later, you've got your computer diploma and you can do something with it. Here's why he's wrong. You get your diploma in information technology, computer, whatever it is involved with computers. 18 years later, you have no idea what's going on, because in 18 years, everything you learned about computers in college is going to be totally obsolete. The hardware is going to be different. The software is going to be different. Nobody's going to be using Windows 10 18 years from now. USB might still be a thing. There'll be no hard drives with platters, that's for sure. Right? Programming languages will be vastly different. So no, a computer technology degree of any kind whatsoever is probably going to be useless in 18 years. So no, if your goal is to get married and have children, pursuing a education in computers might be the worst idea, because mathematics at least isn't going to change in 18 years. Okay, engineering, not going to change in 18 years. Technology is going to change next week. Now, let's deal with the S in STEM, science. This is the example, this is where we start getting into the example I'm talking about. It might be good for you, but it destroys society. Women, oh my God, I'm coming up on the end of the podcast and I'm not finished. Fuck. All right, we're gonna take the break with David Gilmore, then I'm gonna come back and wrap this up. Women should be nowhere near science. Science is a place where you have to be willing to be wrong and you have to think for yourself. Now, real science, we'll get into this after the music break. If you're new around here, quick reminder, the Great One worked in biomedical research for 8 fucking years. I know a little bit more about science as it actually exists today than you do. And it's a fucking joke. And part of the reason it's a joke is because women are in there. Science requires seeking the truth. One thing women have no interest in is the truth. Okay, even the ones who want to get married and have children, they're not interested in the truth. Still here, unfortunately for you guys. Yeah, maybe he went away. No, not going away. Oh, I do need to. I feel like that break gets shorter and shorter. All right, scratchies. Where was I? I was complaining about something. Okay, women in science. Okay, women, just as women should not vote, women should not be involved in science. Yes, all women. Okay, I don't want to hear about exceptions. Listen, guys, listen. All right, science today, in the current year, my friend Alice, she's a scientist, PhD, plant biology, Colorado State University. You know what she does? You know what she does other than receiving government funding? It's called parasitism. I mean, so you know what she gets funded for? She studies tomatoes. Okay, now so far, that's not bad. Tomatoes are good. Tomatoes are important. We like tomatoes. I like tomatoes. She like flies down to South America and they go around, they look at tomatoes and they study the tomatoes and they take samples of the tomatoes and they come back. And yet, here's the thing. I say unto her, what are the practical applications of what you're doing? She has nothing. Well, we're just studying tomatoes. We're looking at all the different... Okay, but what are the practical applications? Right? And it's simply... And I hesitate to even call it science. It is this cataloging of information simply for the sake of cataloging information. As an analogy, I have pots and pans, right? They serve a purpose. I have a computer, it serves a purpose. I have a microphone, it serves a purpose. I have toilet paper, it serves a purpose. I have little Supergirl statues. They don't serve a purpose. Okay? The Supergirl statues exist for no reason other than the emotional response I get from their existence. Okay, and that is what most of what passes for science is today. It's this cataloging of information for no reason other than this cataloging of information. It doesn't have a practical purpose at all. As opposed to one of the researchers I worked with over at CSU, he was doing research on cats. Because, and yes, cats are better than dogs. I still haven't done that podcast. He's doing research on cats because there's some vaccine, I can't remember what the vaccine was for, but he was looking into a potential link between this cat vaccine and kidney failure in cats, which is odd that vaccinating cats could cause kidney failure, but vaccinating humans is completely safe. Just throw that one out. That, you know, we can debate that later. Just try thinking about that for a second. I know it's hard! I know thinking, oh my god, it's so fucking hard! Another example of women in science. Another friend of mine, we'll call her Nancy. I haven't seen Nancy in years, but she's a researcher at CSU. We became friends. She was doing some experiment. It was a brain experiment. She was doing it on rats. I've told this story before. And so she had her thesis that whatever it was, X caused Y. So she did her experiment on the rats, and X did not cause Y. So she did her experiment again, and X didn't cause Y. And she ran this experiment, if I remember correctly, about 8 times on 8 different sets of rats at different time periods. I know it was at least 5 times that she did it. I want to say it was 8. And every time it failed, because she never got X causing Y, okay? Every time it didn't happen, she would say, well, it's because you guys fed my rats at the wrong time of the day, or it's because you guys turned the lights on. You know, she always had, hold on, it's going to be a shock. A woman always had an excuse for her failure, right? Every time she ran the experiment, she never got the results she was expecting based on her thesis. So what did she do? And this is a woman with a PhD. My God, I'm sorry, she's even German. Okay, what did she do? She blamed external forces for the failure of the experiments to support her thesis. At any time, did it occur to her that her thesis might simply be wrong? No, of course not. Because women are perfect.
Women aren't capable of being wrong. You can't have people who are this invested in their ego involved in real science. They simply can't be. You've done the fucking experiment 8 goddamn times. It's never come out according to your thesis. This is when you need to say, hey, maybe my thesis is fucking incorrect. Women don't do this. No woman has ever said, hey, maybe the reason I can't find a good man is because I have hairy armpits and I'm covered in tattoos. No woman has ever fucking done that in the history of women. Not one fucking woman. None. Okay, you don't take people with that much ego investment and put them in science. Okay, now, further evidence of what I'm saying. Because in addition to ego investment, women are herd animals. Now, here we go. Global warming. We got, oh, I don't have my books anymore because they're packed up. We got, I think his name is Richard Lindzen. He's a well-known climate researcher. He calls bullshit on global warming. We got the guy on Twitter that I follow whose name I can't remember right now. We got, but I don't know how to say his name correctly. Bjork Lomborg, who has actually said that he does believe that the Earth is getting warmer. He just doesn't necessarily believe it's all man-made, and he doesn't believe that we need to fix it by taxation. He's got other solutions. Okay, so here's the thing. Global warming, right? Everybody believes in global warming. Here's what I want you to do. Don't use Google. Do it right now. I just named 3. Name for me one female scientist who doesn't believe in global warming. Go. Exactly. Because every female scientist alive believes in global warming because they are herd animals. Can you imagine if Galileo was a herd animal? Well, of course the Earth is the center of the universe. I mean, who would think otherwise? That's the stupidest fucking idea ever. You mean the sun? The sun? The Earth going around the sun? You're a fucking moron, dude. That's not what my friends believe. Okay, no, you can't have... Telling women to go into science is to destroy science. And this is why we live in a society where there's been no scientific progress in the last 50, 60, 70 fucking years. Because science has just been reduced to this parasitical make-work job where women collect information about tomatoes in South America and then do nothing with it. Because it has no reason. It's just, it's exactly like being a fucking social worker. Science is the new fucking social work. It's a place where women go to sit around and do things that contribute to nobody. So no, women in science, encouraging women to go into science is to destroy your civilization. It is to destroy scientific progress. It is to destroy the advancement of science. Because once again, as soon as women show up, not only can you not question anything, but everything's got to turn into a fucking safe space. You can't do fucking science. You can't discover new things in a fucking safe space. Which brings us to women in the military, which Cappy encourages. Okay. The purpose of the military is to defend your nation from invasion. Yes, immigrants, we're not going there right now. Okay. The purpose of the military is to defend your nation from invasion. Women are not suited for killing invaders. Putting women in the military lowers the standards of the military, weakens the military. Okay? Women in the military weakens the military and its ability to do its fucking job. Fact. Trigger warning. Women in the military endangers the nation that military is supposed to defend. So if you are a woman and you want to have children and you want your children to grow up and have a good life and yada, 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 for you to go into the military and actively participate in the destruction and endangerment of the nation in which your children are going to have to live. No, sorry. If you're a woman who would actively destroy and endanger the nation in which your children are going to live, you can't tell me you give a fuck about your children, because you don't. Hang on, I'm looking at my notes. Yeah, all right, here we go. I wrote this. This is almost pretty good. When a woman joins the military, she is weakening the military and putting her nation in danger. The same nation in which her children will have to live out their future lives. If she is willing to destroy her own nation and her children's future for her own personal gain, she isn't much of a mother. Being a good mother and wife requires the willingness to sacrifice for the children and the husband. A woman who puts herself before the nation will certainly put herself before her children and her children's future. Once again, this brings us back to Bret Stephens talking about individualism. This is where I said, say, so when Cappy says to a woman, go in the military, it'll be good for you. It may benefit her personally, right? She may get some guidance and direction, and she may get some money, and she may get a trade and all this other stuff. So it's benefiting her personally, but it hurts the military and it hurts the nation. And that is the kind of individualism that is destructive.